SRN.
Officer Brooks, this is Danny Ocean. I was told to contact you within 24 hours. No, sir, I haven't been getting any trouble. No, sir, I haven't been drinking. No, sir. I wouldn't even think about leaving the state.
The greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world he didn't exist.
I will look for you. I will find you. And I will kill you.
Open the pod bay doors, Hal.
I'm sorry, Dave. I'm afraid I can't do that.
What's the most you ever lost in a coin toss?
Sir?
The most you ever lost in a coin toss.
He wants to kill me so bad he can taste it.
Oh, God, I was going to kill
him. Attica! 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 Attica!
There's only one man who would dare give me the raspberry. Lone Star!
Hey, Stella!
The first rule of Fight Club is you do not talk about Fight Club.
Your milkshake. I drink it up.
You are now listening to Cinnabon Press Reviews.
Welcome to episode 65 of Cinnamon Crespo Deso for reals this time. Trust me on that one. Trust me, not for fakes. This is for reals.
Like, this is like the fifth time we've done this, bro.
No. Third. Fourth.
Semantics.
No. Facts. Numbers.
Three, I said like.
Three versus four.
That's roundabouts.
Roundabouts. Roundabouts are when you drive cars around in the UK. Welcome to episode 65 of Cinema Crespo. So I'm your host, Christopher Crespo. That's my co-host, Drew Cockburn. Drew.
What up, bro? How's it going?
How's it going, dude? How you doing?
Yeah, I'm not doing so hot. I'm feeling a little sicky today.
Feeling a little sicky. That's a good thing you're bringing that around, y'all.
Oh, yeah. You know what? I mean,
the
way it should work is, you know, our one roommate was sick, and now I'm sick, and then you'll be sick next,
no,
and then,
screw yourself.
You know, hopefully by then it'll mutate and go back to him, and then on to me, and then it'll mutate again on you, so on and so forth.
Go screw yourself with your sickness. Keep that away from me. I don't need no sickness. We got the Florida Film Festival going on right now, man.
Oh, God. I missed out last night. I'm probably going to miss out tonight. It's fucking terrible.
Are you really going to miss out tonight?
I think I might, dude. I'm not like as the day goes on. It was just like yesterday. I started off yesterday feeling pretty good, and as the day went on, I got worse. Start out today feeling pretty good, as time has progressed, I start starting to feel worse.
Well, that's just wonderful news. I'm glad we're getting the show done now. Then before you fall out.
Yeah, seriously.
Might as well. All the Florida Film Fest stuff. We're going to do a bonus episode this week anyway, as long as, you know, none of us die in the interim.
Yeah, I hope to be good by tomorrow.
Yeah, we'll see about it.
The unfortunate part is, as I missed a movie I wanted to see yesterday, and I'm probably going to miss a movie that I want to see tonight.
Probably. Let's just then. Since we're going to do a bonus episode in a few days for the Florida Film Festival,
yes, we are.
We'll just go ahead and get into the normal show right now. And like I said, before you die, let's just get this started. So let's get that Netflix instant pick of the week going. Here we go. Every week we do the Netflix instant pick of the week. For past Netflix instant picks of the week, you can go to chriscrespo.com. There we go, warming up the machine. Drew gave it a shake already. Last week we had, last week Reservoir Dogs? Was that? Oh, there we go, and it's all done.
No, I don't remember what last week's was. Kevin picked it.
Recently, I think it was, I think it was
2 weeks ago.
So sometimes it's really obvious. For some of the picks seem obvious, some of them are very obscure, but they're all quite good. Drew, what is this week's Netflix? It's a pretty good week.
The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly.
Oh, there we go, that's pretty much my favorite movie of all time. That's an easy sell. Good, Bad, and the Ugly. They recently put the Man with No Name Spaghetti Western Trilogy on the Netflix. So that includes A Fistful of Dollars and For a Few Dollars More. I think For a Few Dollars More is on there. Anyway, Good, Bad, and the Ugly. It's the third one. Clint Eastwood, he's a bounty hunter with kind of, you know, sort of, you know, he's sort of a scrupulous moralist kind of guy, you know?
Oh yeah, totally. He's more of an anti-hero than anything.
Yes, he is.
He's not necessarily. I mean, he happens to be the hero of the story, but that doesn't necessarily make him a good guy.
Not really. Compared to the other guys, he's a pretty good guy.
Well, yeah, compared it, but you know, also compared to Gandhi, he's a pretty much a giant piece of shit. Yeah,
that's true. Wait, I mean, compared to Gandhi.
I mean, hell, compared to Gandhi, I'm a giant piece of shit. Yeah,
it's an extreme example there. But you're right, though. He is the anti-hero and, like, anti-hero Western style, which was not exactly the in vogue thing at the time in the 60s. That was more in the wake of all the John Wayne Westerns and stuff like that. True Grit, you know?
Yeah.
Good, Bad, the Ugly, great. But the Ennio Morricone score has the classic, wah-wah, you know that?
Doo-doo.
Yeah, exactly. Everyone knows that. People... When you're young, you learn that without even knowing what movie it's from.
Yeah, no, you just think, whenever I hear that, I just think Western.
You just think Western, exactly. So that's how good that movie is, that it has things like that that have stuck through the generations and over the years and that have survived. Movie itself is great. Do you still have it open there in front of you? On the Netflix?
I can get it.
Can you get a runtime? Because they put out a director's cut like a decade ago. In which they added like something like 15 to 18 minutes to the runtime and made the movie a straight 3 hours.
2 hours 58.
There you go. So that's the director's cut. So in the director's cut, there's a few scenes where if you're listening carefully, the scenes with some scenes with Clint Eastwood and some scenes with Eli Wallach, the guy who plays the short, fat Mexican fellow.
Uh-huh.
There are a couple of scenes where their voices all of a sudden get older sounding, you know? And because it's old footage, you know, it's original footage that was shot, but they didn't have any of the sound, so they had to get these guys to redub their dialogue.
Oh, and they got older?
Yeah, like as of 2000, you know, almost 40 years later or something like that.
That's not going to change anything.
Yeah, so the voices sound odd in a couple scenes, but still, it's pretty brilliant. At 3 hours, it's like... 3 1-hour segments. It's paced perfectly. It's epic. Huge story, huge action scenes, and but it's like great character development, and it's God, it's just so good. Love it. I love that movie. Good, Mad, the Ugly. That's a good one. Good choice, dude.
Thank you.
Good choice. All right, so here we go. Let's get into the box office recap for the weekend. You got any numbers there?
Mm-hmm.
What do you got? Where are we starting?
I mean, I guess I'll just start at number 5.
I'm playing catch up over here on the number 5.
Oh.
Sounds good. Let's go.
So number 5 this week at the Grand Budapest Hotel.
The Grand Budapest Hotel.
How do we think? Gross 6.3 million. Total gross 33.38. Budget of whatever. Chris said.
So I haven't figured that out. Yeah, so I haven't looked that up. Grand Budapest Hotel only at 1,200 screens across the country. Not, you know, it's. I think 1,500 is technically like a wide release, considered nationwide. Uh-huh. 1,200, though, is pretty much, it's pretty much dear. You're splitting hairs at that point with that few hundred screens. My mom just saw this with my dad.
Oh, it's good. What did they think?
Yeah, it was okay. Well, she thought it was okay.
Did they like the cursing vines?
I guess so. Who doesn't? I didn't ask. I just assumed that they liked them. I just she expected more, I guess.
No, interesting.
Yep.
Okay.
So that's the Mama Crespediso review. Yeah. Expected more. Thought it was okay. But good for him. 33.3. I think, like I said a few weeks ago, if it gets, she gets like 40, 50 million around there, that's kind of the upper end of Wes Anderson. It's either, this movie's either make over 40 or less than 20. So this is one of the ones that's going to make over 40. Good for Wes. Good for Ralph Fiennes.
Yeah.
Hopefully you get more cursing Ralph Fiennes.
Yes, I want more cursing Ralph Fiennes.
And yeah, stuff like that. Absolutely. All right, let's see what else we got.
Also coming in number 4 this week. Jesus, still around, man. God's Not Dead. We can gross $7.7 million. Total gross $32.52. Kevin Sorbo is making some money.
God's Not Dead's Not Dead.
Kid's Not Dead.
Kid's Not Dead's Not Dead. Kevin Sorbo, Hercules, driving this one to superior box office. 32. You know what's kind of funny?
Huh.
Yeah, Son of God only made $300,000 this weekend. Looks like it's topping out around $60 million.
Yep.
God's Not Dead, $7.7 million this weekend. Probably gets like 45. I was wondering if there could be any competition between the two. Because Son of God had a decent amount of marketing behind it.
Yeah.
God's not dead, nothing. There's no marketing behind that one.
They're replaying the History Channel series.
Oh, are they?
Yeah, the Bibble.
That's all, I'm probably to share also because they're doing that the sequel, the NBC.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Where I guess it's at because it stops with Jesus, right?
No, the series. Yeah. It ends with the resurrection.
The resurrection, the ascension.
Yeah, the ascension, all that fun stuff.
So there's a whole bunch of books.
All the crazy shit.
There's all the books after that. Although a bunch of those books are just a bunch of letters of like apostles. Tons
to the Corinthians.
Like you guys got to keep like tighten your shit up. Be cool to each other.
Well, I think I saw. I don't know if it was a Far Side or something, but there was like something about the Corinthians. They're like, we got all of Paul's letters. Tell him we'll get back to him later.
That's pretty funny. Sounds kind of farsighted.
Yeah.
Good old Gary Larson.
Yeah. My favorite was the gifted school with the kid pushing on the pole. That
one made t-shirts. That was
That was in every single classroom at my school because I went to a gifted school.
Went to a gifted school.
All the teachers loved it. They were like, oh, God, some of these kids are so stupid.
They are.
Correct.
But then how did they get into the gifted school? Because it's relative to the other kids?
I don't know.
How stupid 7-year-old doesn't know algebra yet. How'd you get here, idiot? It's a pull door, not a push door. You're pushing. Moron. Is God's Not Dead made for the people who push the pull doors?
Maybe.
I mean, who goes see Dean Cain movies?
Probably the same people who go see Kevin Sorbo movies. So when you put them together, it's like a powerhouse, dude.
A box office powerhouse of... all right, let's move on.
Coming at number 3.
I think we killed enough time.
Divergent. Weekend gross $13 million. Total gross of $114.
Damn.
Budget 85.
Not bad, Divergent.
I guess we'll be getting the sequel.
Insurgent, Resurgent.
And then the one after that.
Regurgent tape.
Yes. I'm sure.
$136 million worldwide so far. Not too bad. Only another $20 million on top of what it's made here. So, hey, Divergent. Good for what's her name?
Shailene Woodley.
Yep. Directed by Neil Berger. Descendant of the Burger family, well known for inventing the Big Mac.
Yes. Good for them.
Yeah, well, he has that burger money, so that's how he can just be a filmmaker.
So, some people get that burger money.
Terrence Malick, he has that oil money.
Yeah.
Neil Berger's from that burger money.
All right.
You also did that movie, The Illusionist. You ever see that one with Ed Norton and Jessica Biel, I think?
Yeah, it came out around the same time as The Prestige, and The Prestige was a far better film.
Well, any movie with David Bowie as Nikola Tesla is going to be far superior.
And directed by Christopher Nolan, has Batman versus Wolverine as dueling magicians. Even Alfred's there.
Those things help.
I mean,
yeah, but
ScarJo's in it. She's all hot.
Alfred's there, but he's working for Wolverine.
Yes.
Black Widow is first she's helping out Wolverine, but then she's helping out Batman. I think that's the order, right? And then. Other comic booky things are going on.
Nikola Tesla's being all crazy, cloning stuff.
With Gollum.
Yeah, with Gollum.
Gollum / King Kong.
Yes. Oh, man.
Imagine if he bounced back and forth between Gollum and King Kong. Oh.
You know, we need to make this alternate movie where it actually is Wolverine versus Batman. It's actually Alfred.
Everything about the movie is a straight up remake where every scene, shot, the dialogue, it's all the same.
Yes, they're just in costume from other movies.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, so someone out there do that, please. All right, and send that to us. We appreciate it.
All right, coming at number 2 this week.
Waste enough time there.
Noah.
You got to give the people content.
We can gross $17 million. Total gross is $72.34. Budget of 125.
Noah. You know, 60% drop from its opening weekend. First movie a little steep. They probably would have wanted something closer to 50%, but even then, it's at 72. Made $17 million this weekend. Next weekend, it'll make, let's call it 8. Weekend after that, it's called another 4. Maybe 2 or 3 for a few weekends after that. It's going to squeak to, like, cracking 100.
Yeah.
Here in America, it looks like. So it's really then all about how much money it makes overseas. And currently, it is already at $106 million international.
Oh, nice.
So $178 million worldwide so far for this movie. If it keeps making that international dollars, then it will make its money back. You know, I think that's also part of why Paramount, they were going for the Christian exploitation thing, but they were also banking on that international because Black Swan ended up making $300 million worldwide.
Yeah.
Like 200 of that was the international audiences. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So well, they're hoping for the same thing with No One. Looks like the, they might be getting it.
The international people, they like Mr. Aronofsky.
Do they? Is that what it is, I guess?
I think it is.
Some countries, only a handful of them really now that I think of, like France, they're the ones that like hold up the directors as the commodity as opposed to just the actors or something, you know. It's interesting. Is it Aronofsky?
I hope so.
I guess we'll see what Noah 2.
Or maybe it's that Russell Crowe bump.
The Crowe bump. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That Crowe bump is significant, maybe. No. Maybe.
I don't know.
I don't know either. All right, what's number one?
The number one movie, Captain America the Winter Soldier. Weekend gross of $96 million. Budget of 170.
I got a hole in my pants.
You have many holes in your pants. You have many holes in many pants. You need new pants.
No, my other pants are...
You need new pants.
No, my other pants are... The other ones are kind of new.
New pants.
If you have a pair of pants you like to donate to the show, feel free to... Well, we'll get a P.O. box first. And then I'll give out my exact measurements. Captain America, Winter Soldier. All right, yeah. So here we go. Captain America 2.
The Winter Soldier.
Directed by the Russo brothers.
Who also directed...
Bunch of episodes of Community.
Okay.
They're from that world. They didn't create Community, because that's that Harmon guy.
Yeah, Dan Harmon.
Yes, but still.
But they still got, they got Abed a small role.
Community fan, Captain America crossover, spoiler... Yeah, they got that guy a small room.
Yeah, he was in there for like 2 seconds.
I was like, oh look, it's that guy. Yeah. And it's I just thought of the character from Community.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, oh, that guy, he's a nerd. He's probably gonna kick out of the fact that he's in the Captain America movie.
Exactly.
All right, so Captain America, Winter Soldier, we both saw this. Drew, where you want to start? Where you want to take this thing?
I was actually quite surprised that there was like a plot.
There was a plot.
Like, it wasn't just stupid, dumb superhero movie. Like, ooh, look what I can do. I'm a superhero.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah. There was stuff going on.
Yeah, there was stuff going on. And, you know, political, weird, fun stuff. That's why, you know, Mr. Redford was there. The second I saw Robert Redford, I knew what kind of movie this was going to be. And it pretty much lived up to those expectations.
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, his character turned out to be pretty much what I expected.
Yeah.
Based on his casting.
Exactly.
It's like, oh, you're going to have this guy in this role?
Yeah, yeah. We know what's going on here.
Here's what's going on. We might have even called it in the past episode. Now I'm afraid to say it because it's almost a spoiler. Even saying that is kind of spoiler. I'm not going to mention it. Yeah, there's a lot of little twisty turnies in this movie, you know, even though...
And it's saying something as well.
Yes, there's definitely a thing about, you know, our modern, you know, the terrorist age that we live in and the whole... living under fear and the government using that and, you know, we're all monitored now all the time, shit like that. What will we give up? How much of our freedom will we give up to keep
for security?
Some of it for security, right, you know? So it is very, very timely, up to date, modern, smart, right? Yeah. Keeps it relevant for now, see how it holds up down the future. Maybe it wouldn't be weird in 10, 20, 30 years. It looks a little more realistic.
Yeah,
because that happens sometimes when you do movies like that. Like Network's one of my favorite examples. In the late 70s came out, it was a black comedy satire. And people were like, there's no way TV executives would act and behave like this and do things like this and put shit like this on TV. And then 30 years later, it's like a documentary. It yeah, it's exactly. Like, this is this makes sense. Yeah. Will the same thing happen with the events in this movie?
Yeah, we're going to have to find some alternate source of power for that to happen.
Oh, yeah, there's all that comic booky shit. yeah. So it is still, even though it's DC political intrigue, espionage, all that shit, still a pretty comic booky movie.
Yeah, well, no, see, that's just it. They took a comic book movie and intertwined some sort of strange political thriller into it.
Right.
And it kind of worked.
I think so. I think so. The first Captain America was like
more than just the first Captain America movie. It was a comic book movie. It was here's Captain America. I mean, you know, kind of let's have a little bit of fun with history.
It was also like a World War II movie.
Yeah,
like a men on a mission with the Howling Commandos.
Yeah.
But comic booky, though.
Yes. Well, now this is same thing. It's very, you know, political thrillery.
Yeah.
But, you know, but it's still set in the Marvel Universe.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Faux show.
There are, you know, there are certain liberties you can have because it's in the Marvel Universe.
Certain liberties that comic books like to take advantage of.
Yeah.
That really, in movies, it's kind of... But still, I don't want to get too spoiler. Let me just say this. All right. You're watching the movie. As I'm watching the movie, this is my thought process as I'm watching this movie. First off, I do want to say something that's been bothering me more and more lately, I guess, you know, just as I've been getting older and more curmudgeonly and, you know, conservative and shitty, and I'm just going to become an even shittier person as I get older, I guess.
Of course.
But this, the PG-13 violence, you know, it was over the top in this movie. They were having Heat-style shootouts with machine guns out on the street.
Yes.
Like, pow, 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 pow. I mean, cars were getting...
Straight up.
Yeah, yeah. Like, really hardcore. People were getting shot often. A lot of bystanders and, like, team people, like, people with no names, they were dying left and right.
Oh, good Lord.
Getting knocked off bridges into oncoming traffic.
How many people do you think were in those, I mean...
In the buildings and stuff?
The buildings, I mean...
It's almost like the same argument at the end of Superman and the Avengers and all these movies that have all this collateral damage. But it's PG-13, so you don't see any of it.
Yeah.
A lot of it's... extremely bloodless for the most part. This movie is like 99.9% bloodless. Well,
and at the same, and I mean, for all intents and purposes, I mean, Captain America, though, he might have kind of killed a couple people.
I think he did, but for the most part,
I mean, he was just kind of knocking people out.
For the most part, he was. But every now and then every now and then he hit someone and
they would just kind of like fall off a bridge or something. And like, how far that bridge was off the ground.
It's like, are they going to bother showing a shot of someone saving that person? Because they do that sometimes to cover their butt. Like, no, not they're not. Okay, I guess that guy's dead. When the bad guy goes around that they show in all the commercials they do with the metal arm, the Winter Soldier, right? Because they say that on the trailer. Yeah. He's killing a few people.
Oh, he kills people left and right.
Yeah. Like the one guy, he knocks him into the spinning blade of the helicopter.
And it explodes.
That was pretty hardcore.
Yeah.
Like, whoa, that guy died.
Just,
harsh. and that kind of violence bothers me in a movie because I find it cheap and... that kind of desensitizing violence that people rail about, that people are like, oh, this is what's, you know, harming our kids and our culture, blah, blah, blah. Like, if there's anything that does contribute to that sort of mentality, it is this desensitized, bloodless violence where hundreds, anywhere from dozens to millions of people die, you really don't see it. It's just, it's all off screen. It's like in the G.I. Joe movies.
Yeah.
That first one where they're like... The two guys are running down the street in the suits, like Marlon Wayans. I think it's Channing Tatum, right? They're running down the streets in their suits, and rockets are trying to get them, and they're blowing up cars. And it's a busy Paris street with like cafes full of people. And the Eiffel Tower falls over onto buildings. Like people are just dying left and right in this G.I. Joe movie.
Thousands of people.
It's a catastrophe. It's horrible. No, not even any lip service paid to it.
Nope.
Randy Quaid was like, "People died," and that's it. And they move on. PG-13. Let's sell some toys. I feel like it was the same way with this one, and that bothers me. Then again, I know that they're not going to make an R-rated Captain America movie because they're trying to make their money, which obviously this weekend. How much did it make this weekend?
$96 million.
That's not bad. That's not bad. That's, Marvel.
It is head and shoulders above almost all the rest of the movies.
They would have been so happy, Marvel, to get that last $4 million.
Oh, yeah, make a $100 million movie opening weekend, yeah.
It would have been so nice.
I mean, right now, these are estimates. They could squeak out $4 million somewhere.
Oh, well, it's an estimate. I wouldn't be surprised because the actuals come out Monday evening, afternoon. So mostly by the time you hear this, you can go ahead and check, look online. Wouldn't be surprised if the number goes down.
No.
Because the studio's put out the estimates.
Yeah.
So they round it up, probably. Unless they were... Because what happens is they put out the estimates on Sunday, and like what we're doing now, we're using estimates to report on what happened before the actuals come out. You know, this happens a bunch of times. The movie will... a studio be like, oh, this movie's gonna make about $88 million. Let's go ahead and call it 90.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And then everyone reports, oh, like it opened to $90 million, nice round number. And then the Monday actuals comes out. Oh, actually, it opens at 89.2. Not as sexy in the headline. You know, Captain America opens at 89.2 million. Like, do you have to point out the 0.2? Is that even... So, that kind of manipulation happens all the time with the estimates. That being said, 94... Pretty damn good.
No, 96.2.
96.2, pretty damn good, too. Did they already have a... movies like this usually also have a corresponding international release. Yeah, it's, you know, $207 million international.
Okay, so it's already made like $300
million. $300 million worldwide for Captain America opening weekend. Gotta say, not bad. Movie itself, I would say it's not bad.
It's okay. I liked it for what it was. I thought the whole...
The things you pointed out, I agree with. Like, it actually has a story. It actually has something to say. It's one of the few Marvel movies that's actually...
It's not just
trying to do
superhero
something.
Superhero versus supervillain, call it a day.
Yes. Yes. That actually tried to have some weight. Now, whether it really achieved all that gravitas, it was mostly just a lot of lip service. Yeah. But then it really wasn't, you know... I mean, I was hoping for that stuff based on the trailers, but I was glad that they did go there. But then again, it is, like we're saying, a PG-13 movie, so a lot of the stuff then you got to take with a grain of salt. Certain things happen to certain characters where, you know, this is PG-13, so some of these things aren't permanent, if you know what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. You know, it's kind of been there, done that, you know. Kind of open it, let the people see it for themselves, right?
Yeah.
We can talk about it more when it comes out on DVD, I guess. So anyway. So I thought the movie was okay. Where would you rank it, Drew, in terms of the Marvel movies?
I think it's one of the better ones. It was definitely better than the first Captain America.
Agreed. Agreed.
Than both the Thor movies.
Agreed.
Better than the Avengers.
I do like in the last Thor, the fight scene that they had where they went through dimensions.
That was awesome.
That was a lot of fun. But otherwise, yes, I did like it.
Well, that whole thing with the dimensions, that was the coolest part of that movie.
But other than that,
the movie wasn't really that good.
Yeah, I did like this movie more than Thor. Right, what was the other one you said? What about the
Avengers?
The Avengers.
Better than the Avengers.
I would say better than the Avengers. I would say yes because it's a little shorter. And again, it's actually about something and not just about a bunch of characters looking for a substance.
Exactly.
And then even then, spending 40 minutes waiting for the computer to look for that substance while they stood around. Man. Relax, nerds and geeks. I know you love your freaking Avengers movie. You know, you don't gotta...
It's not that good.
Nah, it's all right. Let them have it. It made a ton of money. Just be happy about that, you geeko nerdos. We love you guys. Anyway. Okay, so you're ranking about that. What about the Hulk, Incredible Hulk?
Oh, what, with Ed Norton?
Yeah.
I thought that was pretty good.
Because that's, you know, that's the current... That counts within the current pantheon of Marvel movies.
Well, yeah. I mean, except Ed Norton's not the Hulk anymore.
So you liked it more than that one? You liked it more than the Incredible Hulk, is that what you said?
Yes.
And I believe it's the Iron Man movies. What about those?
The third one was not very good. Second one was... Wait, which one was there? Oh, no. The third one had Ben Kingsley.
Yes.
That one was... I thought it was better.
All right. The second one was Mickey Rourke.
Not very good.
And then, obviously, there was the first one.
And the first one was good. I mean, it probably one of the better Marvel movies. You know? I mean, I'm really looking forward to... it's no X-Men First Class.
Oh, no, that's a good one.
It's no, hopefully, Days of Future Past.
That trailer looks pretty epic, that new trailer.
Except the new trailer, it just gave away so much.
It gave away quite a bit. But hey, they got to sell something.
Yeah.
The movie comes out in a month.
It does.
Month and a half, 6 weeks. I would say, I mean, for all those Marvel movies, it would be still for like the first Iron Man movie, and then the third one are like my favorite Marvel movies. And Captain America would be like just under that there, the new Captain America. It's pretty cool. I dig it.
Yeah.
I liked it. I'd say, you know, if these are your type of movies, yeah, go see it. Go check out a matinee for sure at the least.
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you say?
See it in theater. Right? I mean, this is definitely one of the movies that would. Benefit from the larger screen.
It goes for spectacle. It goes for big scenes, big action. You know, yeah, for sure. Yeah, it works. Definitely works on the big screen.
So, see it on the biggest screen you can.
All right, cool. There you go.
Don't worry about 3D though. Never pay for that 3D.
Yeah, 3D. Yeah, we stay away from that 3D, right?
Okay, let's see here. What we got? New movies coming out on DVD this week. You ready for this? You got a whole bunch of movies. Got a whole ton of them. Movies that we're excited to see. Movies like August, Osage County.
Been looking forward to that one.
Listen, how sick this guy is.
I'm dying.
Where's this guy's Vicks? You got your Vicks on you somewhere? Paranormal Activity, the marked ones.
Awful.
That's the one where they try to get the Hispanics specifically, because like, hey, you Hispanics, you guys like supernatural movies, right? This one's set in the barrio.
Awesome.
Grudge Match. Robert De Niro. Did you see that one?
Nope.
Yeah, it's watchable. It's Bobby
Dean Sly. It's old timey boxers.
It's a red box, stuck on an airplane type of movie. Know what I mean?
Yeah, I feel you.
Yeah. And the Hobbit, the Desolation of Smaug.
Smaug.
Smaug. Yeah, that's pretty much. Big Dragon.
Yeah, hooray.
Speaking of Big Dragon, there's that Maleficent trailer.
Yeah, it looked pretty crazy.
It was intriguing. Intriguing trailer.
I mean, Angelina Jolie definitely does the whole Black Witch thing pretty cool.
Right.
Like, I saw that and I was just like, oh my god, that's the Witch of Sleeping Beauty.
Yeah, she they got the makeup and everything, yeah, with that, the hat thing, the helmet head thing that she's got going on with the horns. And
yeah.
And the dragon thing at the end looked pretty, like, whoa.
It looks pretty crazy. I mean, I always thought that Angelina Jolie would make a very good villain.
Yeah, she's got that. She's got that icy cool.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah.
Where she can be heartless.
Yeah, that whole Ice Queen thing.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. That one looked pretty interesting. You got new movies coming out in theaters?
Rio Dos.
I never even saw Rio. You know what I remember about Rio?
Her name is Rio and she sings Upon the Sand.
Is that from that movie?
No, that's from...
Is that like a Duran Duran song?
Yeah, there we go.
So, the first Rio, I don't know about the second one. So it takes place in Brazil, right?
Brazil.
And it's about this, like, from this is what I remember from the trailer from a few years ago. But a bird of some sort who can't fly. Uh-huh. So there's a part where he's like with another bird. And I think they're stuck together somehow. And it's like it's fallen off of a mountain. And it's plummeting to the ground. It's like trying to fly and it can't fly. And it gets to the beach below, a beach full of people. The birds, don't trust me on this order or whatever, you know, but it's been a while. But he can go on YouTube and look this up to confirm that this does happen. They bounce off of like an umbrella. Boing, you know. And then they bounce off a beach ball. Bow, 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 and then they bounce off like something else. Boom. And then they bounce off a Brazilian booty.
Nice.
Like a big old butt.
Pow!
And they bounce off of like all the other big bouncy things. And it's a close-up shot of a cartoon DreamWorks Brazilian butt in a bikini bottom. It's like even in your animated family movies, Brazil is a filthy, filthy place of just sexual deviance. Yes. And booty.
Giant asses.
Giant asses. Booty. And it made me laugh. It made me laugh so hard in the theater. And all the kids were like, why are you laughing? And the manager's like, sir, can you please leave? You're disturbing all the kids here. Anyway.
Also coming out next week, Kevin Costner's Draft Day.
Now, this trailer.
The NFL movie.
This trailer, we're going to talk about this movie a little bit too in the second half of the show. But this trailer makes me think, every time I see it, makes me think of like a fake movie. Like it's made for a Funny or Die. Like, someone got Kevin Costner. It's like, let's do a fake trailer about draft day for the fucking Cleveland Browns. The most feudal, worst team in sports, maybe? They're up there with the Cubs, you know, and just being bad in sports in general, the Cleveland Browns. And it's all about the draft day. Like, it's us picking one person who's 18 years old or 19 years old. Ugh. It looks like a fake trailer. And then even the way the trailer's cut, it makes me laugh. And now the movie's real, and it's here.
You know, like this. Oh man,
God. Draft Day.
Like I'm sitting there reading the buzz about it. And I actually agree with whoever's writing this little buzz thing. I would not watch this as a movie.
What would you watch it as?
Maybe an HBO miniseries. You know, like a la you know, like they've been doing recently with everything else.
Okay, yeah. Something like that.
Whether it be your newsrooms or your True Detectives or whatever.
An Aaron Sorkin show about draft day, leading up to the draft day.
Or just draft day itself. You know, I'm sure there's all sorts of
the entire second season is draft day. The entire second season. First season's building up to draft day.
Exactly. Yeah.
Second season's draft day.
Starring Kevin Costner and a whole bunch of nobodies. I'd watch that.
Writes itself.
No.
And said it's a movie.
And it's going to be bad.
Yeah, I don't have any faith in it. Anything else coming up?
Oculus.
Some horror movie. Looks. Is it PG-13? R, does it say?
Doesn't say.
Nah, that's screwed. What's going on?
Railway Man.
Oh, that Colin Firth movie. Yeah, no one's going to go see that. It's probably, that's a limited release one anyway, probably. Most likely. Limited. What else? Anything else? That's it? That's it for the weekend? All right.
Cuban Fury.
Cuban Fury with Nick Frost. He's a funny guy. I like Nick Frost. I think he's cool. Frost and Peg. English fellas. Peoples. Yeah. So that's it.
It's a pretty terrible weekend.
I guess so. Good thing for the Florida Film Festival. Which Drew's not going to. So. Anyway. All right, let's take our break here. Get into the second half of the show. Get Drew some. What's that Vic stuff you got there? You know what I'm talking about?
Say what?
What's that Vic stuff you got going on?
I got NyQuil.
What's that NyQuil? Oh, NyQuil. No, I don't. You don't take any NyQuil. Not yet. Now we're about to do the show.
Yeah. Well, no. I mean.
Now we're about to get the show started.
About to get it started.
Yeah, we're about to get the show started.
Just about to.
Yeah.
Like right now.
Well, in a second, I'm going to play a song here called Turn Back. It's not movie related, but I'll tell you how this is all going to tie in when we come back. So enjoy this song. We'll be right back with the second half, episode 65, and this all makes sense in a minute.
See ya! Let's go. No time to waste. Turn back. Pick up the pace. Turn back. Heard them say. Turn back. I'm on my way. And I can't turn back. Fall too far. Slip short. The minute it is, ignore pain. Cause the win meant more. Changing the game with the same entertainment. But this ain't aiming to get changed from a mundane chore. Think I got a case of the Mondays, or it's just another day, same war. Untamed brain makes me a little lace. Lace ain't used and illusion is gone. I heard when it slapped up. Can't turn back. Run another level with my game on track. Can't turn back, but I can't turn back. Turn back, I heard when it's like the pain. Turn back, want another level, but my game on track. Can't turn back, but I can't turn back. Pull away from the pack, now I can't turn back. No playing when I went into this, just shifted to this. Intuitive, you with a trip, moving clueless. Got nothing to do but just win again. I see it in my mind, bring it alive, and then get a rush one time. Trying to touch sunshine, if the sky is the limit, then I reach a blind. I never trip on what I see behind. Cause the past is the past, and I pass that by. Everybody has a bad man sometimes. You pass on living like fast, and you ride. When the action you cash can't buy me the pack for myself, I ain't never gon' die. When I get the never giving set of my mind, I gon' need about 11 different enemies to find. The end is sci-fi, honestly, your mind that I'm never cause I'm out of my mind. I heard when it slapped up, can't turn back. Run another level with my game on track. Can't turn back, but I can't turn back. Pull away from the pack, now I can't turn back. I heard when it slapped up, can't turn back. Run another level with my game on track. Can't turn back, but I can't turn back. Pull away from the pack, now I can't turn back. Gotta keep on till the seat don't lie. Wanna keep calm when the heat's on. They turn back when it's heat storm. Better live, better die, then I'll keep on. Gotta keep on till the seat don't lie. Wanna keep calm when the heat's on. They turn back when it's heat storm. Better live, better die, then I'll keep on. And then sometimes you only get a second to react. Matter of fact, whenever it's that second in act. Never look back, cause the veteran you've never been beheaded. The direction is ahead of you, flat. In front of your face, there's nothing you chase to catch. It's never gonna make you turn back. Turn back, but I can't turn back, cause I can't find a great destination on the map. I heard when it's like up, can't turn back. Want another level with my game on track. Can't turn back, but I can't turn back. Run away from the pack, now I can't turn back. I heard when it's like up, can't turn back. Want another level with my game on track. Can't turn back, but I can't turn back. Run away from the pack, now I can't turn back. Gotta keep on till the seat don't lie. Gotta keep calm when the heat's on. They turn back, but it's too storm. Better live, better die, then I'll be born. Gotta keep on till the seat don't lie. Keep calm when the heat's on. They turn back, but it's too storm.
Welcome to the Quest Bowl.
Welcome to the second half episode 65 of Cinema Crespedito. I'm your host, Christopher Crespo, hanging out with Joseph Cogburn. Drew,
what up?
How you doing?
I just gotta make it through the second half, and then I can turn into sick Drew.
Bruce, we are infected.
I'm infected, yes. I am infected. I'm infected to something, whatever it is. If it's got me feeling like this, I can only imagine what it has other people feeling like.
Stay away from me.
I have an awesome immune system, and this thing's just...
You stay on your side of the yellow line, the yellow tape that we put down the middle of this apartment. You stay on your side over there, I'll stay on my side over here.
Whose side is the kitchen on?
My side.
Can you cook me something later?
Maybe. Maybe. We'll see. Just stay on your side. So what'd you think of that? What'd you think of that track, Drew?
That was pretty crazy.
That hot track.
It was pretty nuts. It was like it was hip hop, but it definitely had some like heavy metal influence.
Like some pretty rock Bruce thing going on in there. Yeah, it was cool. It's a song called "Turn Back" by. I'm not too sure how to credit this. Saya. We talk about how we're gonna pronounce this, and I forgot already. S A I A H.
So it's like Isaiah, but without the I.
Zaya. Saya.
Isaiah.
S A I A H. Saya. Just look him up. Google him. And Rob Ryder. Google him. R O B R E I D E R.
Friend of the show.
Akahan Audio. I only see these words in print. No one says them out loud to me, so I don't know how to say any of them. Sometimes you gotta hear these things, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, Rob is, like you said, friend of the show. Good friend of ours. Known the guy for a long time. He produced that track, and this other dude did the vocals, and now this third guy, this fella Constantine, is wants to do a music video. And here's a message I got from Rob. I just figured... Rob sent me this message. I figured I'd just, read it for everyone. He says, "I'm stoked to be releasing my new song, Turn Back, with Saya on vocals, and to have it featured on his upcoming album." All right, so that's cool. That's what's going on. He produced a track on this guy's album. "Being that I work in movies, I thought it'd be..." He does audio stuff.
Yes.
"Being that I work in movies, I thought it'd be cool to make a music video for the song. Something that would be more of a short film than a band playing in a garage. I sent my friend Constantine the song to see if he liked it, and if he'd be interested. Within a week, he wrote us the badass treatment that's on the Kickstarter. I'm honored he is backing this project, as his work recently stands for itself, even gaining the attention of MTV.com, where they featured his first music video, Sad Robots Automatic Reset."
Okay.
"So we need help. We have rewards of CDs, shirts, audio, or compositional work from me." Ooh, that's actually people. Hey, if you donate enough money to be able to get some production work from Rob Ryder, he knows what's up.
Yes, he does.
He knows what's up. "Even a guest co-director spot on the video with Constantine." Whoa, what does that cost? "Check out the Kickstarter page, listen to the song, watch the video, donate, and or repost the link. Everything helps." So how can people search this on Kickstarter.com? I guess if we search "Turn Back" in quotes, because that's the name of the song.
Yeah.
"The official Turn Back music video fundraiser by Saya. Saya. Constantine Prada and Rob Ryder. So far it has 44 backers. They're trying to get $9,700.
Okay.
$1,500 pledged so far.
Nice.
2 weeks to go. You got 2 weeks to raise about almost $8,000 on this Kickstarter for his project. And the quick description here, it says for his Turn Back thing: murder, time travel, spaceships, brawls, lasers, the Old West, prohibition, the civil rights movement, and a killer hip-hop soundtrack. And then there's a five-page music video treatment.
Yeah, all you have to do is search
in quotations, turn back.
And it pops up?
Yeah, it's the first one that comes up. The official Turn Back music video fundraiser.
So there you go, people. If you like that song, if you want to help out local art, well, not local artists, but small-time artists trying to, you know, trying to make an impact. It's hard to do out there these days, man.
It is.
So you want to support our friend Rob Ryder, friend of the show Rob Ryder, we would really appreciate that. Go to Kickstarter and look up his Turn Back thing and maybe throw some money their way. Hell, even let them know it's us. Sending them their way. Maybe we'll throw an extra CD or something. Who knows? And this treatment looks pretty cool, man. It takes place part in the future, in a speakeasy in the 1940s, a civil rights meeting in the 60s, and then it says Back to the Future, and this is courtroom, gas chamber, graveyard. It is crazy. It's like the, it looks like it wants to be the Cloud Atlas of hip-hop music videos.
Sounds like fun.
Yeah, it does sound like fun. So, good luck, guys. There you go. Did my part there. Right?
Yeah.
Feel
we did our part.
There you go.
That's well, fine. You did our part. Thank you.
You're welcome. That's our month's bit of free advertising for friends and charity because we do that so often.
We actually do.
Plug us. Plug Drew. We're internet. Find at, you where
at Antihero419.
Antihero419.
Instagram, Twitter.
Antihero419. Get me on Twitter at I am Chris Crespo.
Are you?
For sure.
I don't think you are.
No doubt.
I think it's a lie.
You got Jarvis.
I think you've been lying.
You got Jarvis' license.
I don't think that's your real name. I think you're some sort of strange refugee from a strange land.
If I was going to be a girl, if I was born a girl, I would have been Blanca. No, Bianca. No, Blanca.
Blanca?
Blanca.
Yeah. Blanca, like as in the Street Fighter character.
Yes. Yes. Or the color of white. But yeah,
okay. I'm going to start calling you Blanca from now on.
All right, that's cool. since I was a dude for a little while, my mom was like pushing really hard to call me Spencer.
Ugh.
My dad was like, nah. Mom liked Spencer Tracy.
Okay. So Spencer Crespo.
Spencer Crespo.
Doesn't have the same ring.
They're throwing names back and forth, and then they couldn't figure out nothing, and the doctor's standing there with a blank birth certificate, like tapping his foot, tapping the pen, like, let's go, guys, let's go, he needs a name. One of them spit out, like, Christopher.
And blah, 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 blah.
And they looked and at each other, name. They're like, Christopher. So I asked him, like, so what's the significance of the name? Like, is there someone in the family, someone you knew, where did it? And they're just like, I don't know.
Nice.
There's no significance whatsoever.
There
it is. It is the longest English name. Christopher. No English name longer. Bartholomew comes close at 10.
But no cigar.
No cigars, no. What are we talking about?
I don't know.
This is not in my show notes. Let me see what's in my show notes here. Wait a minute, you have show notes?
Wait a minute, you did preparation for this?
I mean, it takes about 20 minutes, but yeah. Yeah, I do. For example, I did. Thank God I wrote this down. I did want to talk about. It's been a while since there's been an installment in the Crespo Diso Book Club of the Month.
You mean that one Crespo Diso Book Club of the Month?
Two.
Did you do it 2 months in a row and then stop completely?
It might have been 2 months in a row. It might be one. Might have been at the beginning of 1 month, next month, the end of the next month,
and then just completely just scrapped it.
I was just reading other books. Reading books. I was trying to keep it movie related. Not every book I read is movie related.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
No.
So, well, I finally read some that's a little more movie related.
Uh huh.
I can try to get comfortable here. That I can talk about. Here we are. All right. So we saw Inside Llewyn Davis, the latest Coen Brothers movie.
Yes, we did.
Movie about a fictitious.
Asshole with a cat.
Asshole with a cat, singer, songwriter, folk singer, trying to make it in the village in New York in 1961. That sums it up.
Yeah. Right.
That was based on the mayor of McDougal Street, a memoir.
Uh-huh.
They added that part to it.
Nice.
So you know who it is. And it says, it's credited to Dave Van Ronk.
Okay.
With Elijah Wald. What happened was, and this is all explained at the end of the book, but you know, spoiler, I don't give a shit. I'll just say it. What's going on here? This Van Ronk fella, folk singer from the 50s, 60s. He was even doing music before that. A lot of different styles of music he was working in. He was working all the way up until 2002.
Okay.
When he got cancer. and then he died shortly thereafter. It was not a successful battle against cancer for the poor man.
Lost
the battle. Before that happened, he got with this Elijah Wald guy, and they were working on like a definitive, a book that's going to be the definitive. This is the 1960s New York folk scene.
Okay.
And it was going to be everything, everyone. And not just even the music, but actually the village scene, everyone that was there. So him and this guy, they spent a lot of time talking and recording conversations and talking to some other people, had all these notes and all this shit. And then the dude died, right? So it was incomplete. Uh-huh. They didn't have nearly as much as they wanted to do the whole village thing. But this Elijah Wald guy had enough to write a
book about him.
To do a Van Ronk thing. And because everything was recorded, it's all written like as if Van Ronk wrote it. And he might have even written some of it. I don't know how they put it together. But it's all like, you know, I would go to, oh, snap.
Uh-oh.
Here we go. Mayor McGill Street's got to go. Time for Juice Chicago versus the world. Juice Chicago versus the world. Come back to the mayor of McDougal Street in a second. Because we got a sparring round, the Juicy Cochran versus the world.
You ready, buddy? This one's
I was up pretty late trying to figure this one out. And then in the end, it's something so simple. So simple. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
The game we all love. It's almost like my version of Plinko. Because it's so exciting. And it turns up so often. More of the latter. Which made more? I'm going to give you two movies and tell which one made more money.
All right.
The comic book edition. The comic book edition. All right, so here we go. Number one, which made more money in the U.S. theaters? The Crow or The Shadow? Both released in the same year.
The Crow?
The Crow made $50.6 million in 1994. The Shadow made $32 million. That's a good job here.
Who knows what evil lurks in the hearts of men, Chris?
Right. Alec Baldwin knows. Yeah, he knows.
He knows.
And then he retired. He's no longer going to do stuff good for him. Number two. Here we go. Which made more? Catwoman or Elektra? Catwoman made $40.2 million. Elektra made a $24.4 million. Oh. Catwoman, I am sorry. There you go. Number three.
Both equally bad.
Which made more money in the box office, Drew? A History of Violence or 30 Days of Night?
30 Days
of Night. History of Violence made $31.5 million. 30 Days of Night made $39 million. Good job. Here we go. Number four. Scott Pilgrim versus the World, namesake of the game. Or the Spirit. Scott Pilgrim made $31 million. The Spirit made $19 million.
Holy cow. The Spirit was so bad.
So terrible. So terrible. Number five. Which made more? From Hell or The League of Extraordinary Gentlemen?
Let's go with From Hell.
From Hell made $31 million. League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, $66 million. Here we go. So far, you are 3 of 5 out of the first five. 3 out of 5. Not too bad. Number six. Which made more money? Blade or Hellboy?
Blade
made $70 million. Hellboy made $59 million. There you go. All right, number seven, Daredevil or Sin City?
Sin City?
Daredevil made $102 million.
Excuse me?
You're $102 million right there, though. Sin City made $74 million. There you go. Next on that one. Number eight, which made more money? Thor or X-Men, The Last Stand.
Thor.
Thor made $181 million. X-Men, The Last Stand, made $234 million. Holy guacamole, that's a lot of money for a bad movie. Number 9, which made more money, Drew? Batman Forever or Men in Black?
Men in Black.
Batman Forever made $184 million. That's why they kept making them. Men in Black made $250 million.
Goddamn.
That's not good. And finally, number 10, which made more money, Drew? Hulk or The Wolverine?
The Wolverine.
Hulk made $132.1 million. The Wolverine made $132.5 million. Good job, Drew. There.
Ridiculously close.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 out of 10. Good job. I'll give you one of these. Where's the achievement? That the comic book edition achievement of which made more. Okay, I'll try a different one. How about this one? How do I get it? Okay, there we go. I'm gonna stop playing with that for now. So you go, Drew. Good job. Back to what we were talking about. The mayor of McDougal Street. That's who you are.
I am Mayor McDougal Street.
The mayor. Mayor
of McDougal Street.
Street. That's who Drew is. The mayor of McDougal Street is Dave Van Ronk. I always want to say Von Ronk. Not Von Ronk, but it's Van Ronk. Who, anyways, want to write a book about the Village Days, but he died, and memoir. That's what we're talking about. Right? So anyway, it's good. It's actually quite well written, very interesting, and it covers his experiences, like in the 40s, 50s, leading up to going into New York, and then the village scene in the 50s and 60s, based around him and all the singers and musicians he hung out with. And he rattles off a list of names, like, oh, yeah, you should know who all these people are. I have no idea who most of them are. But obviously, you know, like, you know, Joan Baez, Joni Mitchell, Bob Dylan. There's some names, you know, Garfunkel, the Woody, and the Arlo. Mm-hmm. And who else? Simon and Garfunkel. When they first came around, people didn't get them. Song is The Sounds of Silence. That song was a joke, apparently. Well, it became a joke. Because they would play it, no one liked it. They put out the first record with that song on it, no one bought it, and so then when people mentioned the first song, the first line of the song, "Hello, Darkness, My Old Friend," mm-hmm. and when someone would sing that line in a room full of musicians, everyone would start laughing.
Nice,
you know, like, oh, those fools, that song. And then some producer got a hold of the song, overdubbed some electric guitars and stuff, and added some things to it, and hit song, boom, Simon and Garfunkel, biggest thing to happen.
Ever.
Since mayonnaise and white bread.
Yeah, that's pretty big.
And there's a few...
And very white.
Very white, yeah, very, very white. There's a few, handful of really, really good stories in here, like really small little stories about him, you know, traveling and stuff like that, and like really big stories about how he did the original arrangement of the song House of the Rising Sun,
mm-hmm.
that, you know, the Animals made that song super popular. Yeah. Before the Animals made that song super popular, Bob Dylan, he made that song kind of popular because he was performing it live and people were like, oh, this is pretty good. Before Bob Dylan made that song kind of popular, Dave Van Ronk took that old song and did the arrangement that is what the song that we know and love today.
Okay.
He did the original version. Bob Dylan was like, hey, man, can I do that? You mind if I do that? And Van Ronk was like, I don't know. And then I was like, oh, well, I did it already anyway. So sorry about that. Then it got kind of popular. And it became kind of a sore spot for a guy. And it was an interesting story, actually. It's pretty cool. A lot of little things like that I had no idea about. A guy is very insightful, extremely well-read. He knew a lot. And it makes for a good book. And then it's interesting seeing the movie inside Llewyn Davis and seeing what they pulled out of here. Because even though this covers quite a bit of this guy's life during this time period, they use maybe what would equate to like less than 10 pages worth of material for their movie. There's even an album called Inside Dave Van Ronk, which I thought that was cute. They took that. Van Ronk had his Merchant Marine papers, but then he lost them really early on. And because of the political climate of the day and his open affiliation with communists and stuff, he couldn't go back for more papers because then they would like grill and be like, "What you do with the papers? Who you give them to? Who you sell them to?" Blah blah. So, but then it just he does the same trip where he goes to the Gate of Horn to see that guy in Chicago, and he plays for him in his club during the day, and the guy's like, "Yeah, this isn't really gonna work." But he didn't. It's not. He didn't give up. He kept going. This was like early on in his career, and he kept going for years and years and years, and he kept playing music. Whereas in the movie Inside Llewyn Davis, that's almost impetus where he's like, he gives it all up. He's like, "I'm done with music. You know, I can't hack it anymore." So it's interesting, the parallels between the two. It's definitely a great companion piece to the movie, to each other. And, you know, like the good old Spotify, which is awesome. I looked up some Van Ronk. Listen to some of his, they have a ton of his stuff, a lot of his albums, because he's been recording forever, or was recording for forever. And, it's good music. Some of it's good, some of it's hokey, but some of it's good. Yeah. So that's the Crespo Diso film, book,
Club of the...
Of the month. It's all the month. It's not, I never said it was every month. Who said... Every month. Did I say every month? Did I ever say that? Please don't go back and check.
How about Book of a Month Club?
The Book of a Month Club.
Book of the Month.
The Month of Now. Just pretty so Book of a Month Club. And it just happens to be this month.
Exactly.
Mayor of McDougal Street by Dave Van Ronk with Elijah Wald. It's good stuff. It's a good read.
Awesome.
Good read. All right, here we go. Let me go back to my notes, which I do have prepared here. Oh, yeah, we were going to do. I was going to jump in from that into couple of movie stories we got. Movie news. Let's see, Drew. What do you want to hear? Goonies sequel possible? NFL vetoes a scene from that Draft Day movie. Entertainment Weekly lays off their film critic. Or Rick Santorum in Business with the Devil.
Rick Santorum and the Devil.
Blast through this one. This is according to nationalmemo.com. Is Rick Santorum in business with the devil? Former Senator Rick Santorum, Republican of Pennsylvania, was in full rant mode. His message spoke directly to those who tuned in. The devil runs show business, and this has to be stopped. This is rough business. This is something that we're stepping out, Santorum said to supporters who dialed into a live web event last October. And the devil, for a long, long time, has had these screens for his playground, and he isn't going to give it up easily. So Santorum's one of these guys who's like, you know, the devil uses media to do his evil ways with people. Right? Now, as CEO of Echo Light Studios, Santorum has made it his business to promote a Christian message and provide an alternative to the sex violence and sin pervasive in Hollywood. What Santorum and other execs at Echo Light are not touting, however, is that one Echo Light manager has provided a devil's playground for years with another production company. Santorum has said he was introduced to Echo Light when someone mentioned the company as a possible investment opportunity. He was interested, and the more I got involved, they offered me the CEO position this past summer, Santorum told the National Catholic Reporter. Prior to ushering Santorum as CEO, other executive changes were taking place at Echo Light. This is where it gets interesting. You ready?
Ready, Chris?
According to documents with the Texas Secretary of State, with unanimous written consent of the members of the company, Jacob Hilton was replaced by Jen Fukunaga as manager of Echo Light in October 2011. Jen Fukunaga. Name something familiar at all?
Yeah.
Fukunaga? No? This was, no doubt, a wise business move. Fukunaga is an extremely successful television producer who founded the anime company Funimation in 1994. Does that sound familiar, Drew?
Yes.
Fukunaga describes himself as CEO and founder of Funimation Hero. That's just a link. Funimation became extremely successful when it brought popular Chinese anime shows like Dragon Ball Z to North America for the first time. It's that guy.
Yep.
So that guy is now, in October 2011, made manager of this Echo Light company. Their whole thing is making Christian movies.
Sweet.
Okay. Aside from harmless shows like Dragon Ball Z, Funimation is also responsible for distributing more adult content in the United States. It's not unfair to label some of the shows distributed by Funimation as overtly sexual, if not patronizing and degrading to women. The clip below, for example, is a quote quickie from the Funimation show, a YouTube series produced by Fukunaga's company. I'm not even going to play it. Just look at the screen cap. The screen capture on YouTube.
Oh, it's just anime boobs.
Just big old anime boobs. But, you know, obviously that's how they animate the women over there.
Mm-hmm.
Other adult shows brought to North America by Fukunaga's Funimation include the racy Panting and Stalking with Garter Belt. Oh, Funimation's website describes the show as follows. This is good stuff. Panty and Stocking are nasty angels who were banished from the pearly gates for being foul-mouthed bad girls. This is a cartoon. I want to see this now.
It's some of that softcore Japanimation porn.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I think there's a bunch of it on Netflix. Now they spend their days hunting ghosts in the treacherous abyss between heaven and earth.
With giant titties and no clothes on.
Panty likes sex. Stocking likes sweets. And their Afro-sporting main man garter belt has a fetish we can't mention. That's their little press thing there.
Nice.
Other shows like Girls Bravo also being distributed. One particularly graphic sexual scene of Girls Bravo, a young female character simulates oral sex with a banana while a male onlooker experiences sexual gratification. Sexual gratification. Gratification again. I was going to say gratification. Sexual gratification. By watching. The scene is, by any measure, downright pornographic. So here we go. Santorum is now working with the guy who helped bring to America Panty and Stocking with Garter Belt.
Sweet.
So is Santorum in bed with the devil now? In business with the devil?
Maybe. But he always has been. He's in politics.
I know, right? Talking about a politician. Like, his hands are clean. Watch out, the cards.
Seriously.
Right? So, I guess the lesson that we can learn from all that is we need to look up this Panty and Garter Belt show, whatever that is. Goonies sequel NFL movie EW.
NFL movie.
So, the NFL vetoed one scene. Apparently, they got a lot of participation from the NFL. I mean, they got to use the
logo.
Teams and stuff. Yeah. And actually, I think they point out here in this article. This is from thepostgame.com. NFL granted upcoming draft day more access than just about any other movie in recent memory. The movie, which uses real franchises, was allowed to film at the 2013 NFL draft.
Yeah, there you go.
It includes a cameo from NFL commish Roger Goodell. But according to the film star Kevin Costner, there was one image that the NFL did not want the movie portraying to fans. Costner told the LA Times the league nixed the scene in which his character is hung in effigy. It's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Quote, I thought it was a really funny moment, but I think the NFL is really cracking down on fan behavior both inside the stadium and outside. The idea of hanging somebody, for as funny as I thought it was and as realistic as I thought it was just an image that I didn't want in the movie. That was a small price for us to pay, but shows that they are watching very closely, Kevin Costner said.
Let's see anything else worth pointing out.
So there you go, NFL. That's what happens when you're making a movie. I guess so. It's like the Google movie, remember, with Vince Vaughn. And they're getting these movies where huge corporations are agreeing to allow their image to be used as part of the plot. But then they get to say what happens in the movie, right? So Google can't be portrayed as a horrible place to work at. It's got to be the best place to work at.
Best place ever.
The NFL, they can't be a movie out there where their fans are shown being so unruly that they have an effigy of a general manager.
They're hanging.
Even though in real life the fans are like beating each other to death and stuff and parking lots, and it's horrible. It's horrible out there. It's hard out there for a pimp. For a football pimp. Like I said, the movie looks like a fake movie. and now in real life, the NFL is nixing scenes from there. That's like something straight out of. Remember, the NFL shut down that football show on ESPN, Playmakers. Yes. They shut that down after 1 year, and they didn't they weren't even using NFL names or nothing.
No, they're just football players smoking crack.
They're just football players smoking crack, and then they shut that shit down. The lady doth protest too much. If thou asketh me, NFLeth. So anyway, Entertainment Weekly. They've had this guy Owen Lieberman. He's been their film critic since they started in the mid '90s, and they laid him off
because
money. Because actually, what Entertainment Weekly is doing, they're doing the same thing Huffington Post is doing, where outsourcing everything. All their content is going to be, you know, platformed out, like open source. Anyone can contribute. You can be a contributor to HuffPo if you want, Drew. You're just not going to get paid for it.
Yeah.
You know, your payment is that your article's on HuffPo.
EW
is doing the same thing. They have this whole new section on their website called The Community, and they're trying to get people to just upload shit for free.
Free content.
Free content for them. Supposed to be exposure for you. You play ball, you know, but it's a bunch of bullshit. Actually, Mayor McDougal Street addresses that, the mayor himself. Because there was a time period where the streets were flooded with all these young singer, songwriter, guitar player dudes going from coffee shop to coffee shop. And there were like all these open mics and all these coffee shop owners like, oh, you can play for free if you want. You can get the exposure. And old mayor here, he's like, no, man, we all got to band together and fucking like demand money. Our time is worth money. We can't just keep playing for free. And if some of us, only some of us agree to pay for money, and then others are playing, you know, getting undercut. They had to like form unions and shit. What a pain in the ass. Yeah, it's the same thing though.
Yeah, totally.
It's the same thing. So EW, now they're doing that shit. They not only do let go the film critic, but also like the music critic that they've had on there for a while, and someone else too. A few people. Like
random jerk holes
just
blew their vomit all over the place.
Yeah, exactly. Because that's what the future is all about. That's what the internet has given us.
Awesome.
So there you go. And finally, they're saying there's going to be a Goonies sequel.
Maybe.
Richard Donner, director of the original Goonies, wants to do a Goonies sequel. Any interest in that whatsoever, Drew?
It all depends on how they run with it.
Blah, 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 blah. Richard Donner, when asked if any of the stars from the original would return, he responded, hopefully all of them. Hopefully, that doesn't sound very solid. Well, Richard Donner wants to make it happen. But then again, what the hell has Richard Donner been making lately? Absolutely nothing. He needs a Goonies sequel.
Yeah, but I mean, are any of them going to come back?
Yeah, right? Maybe Josh Brolin. I got a few questions here. A couple people dropping in multiple questions. At Matt Sully, first he tweeted, what's up with Anti-Hero 419's review of Medea's Christmas?
I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, I see that shit. Yeah, sick one. The sick guy has got to see it. Matt Sully, we're going to make sure he sees it soon. We didn't forget.
No, we didn't.
Trust me, Matt, we didn't forget. Matt also asked on Twitter, thoughts on Fargo and Bad Teacher being turned into TV shows? Chances the show succeed? I knew Fargo was being made into a TV show. I didn't know Bad Teacher was being turned into one. I assume also both of them are FX. I know Fargo's FX.
I mean, I could see some of them. I could see Fargo being kind of fun, maybe.
It's, yeah, the quirkiness of the movie, no. Right? Expanded.
That teacher, I just see that being a complete bomb.
That comes across more as a typical sitcom.
Exactly.
Like 90s sitcom. Yeah. Fargo is more modern cinematic television. Bad Teacher is more 90s. Yeah. Good call on that one. So, well, which one would succeed? I don't think Bad Teacher succeeds.
I would hope that Fargo would, but I don't think it's gonna.
No, if it's good.
It all depends on who's doing it.
We'll see. At Rage Against Twit tweeted. It was an interesting one. Can you give a brief history of the genesis of Cinema Crespo with Anti-Hero 419?
How it was born?
Brief history of how it was born, how it was birthed.
You came up to me and said, hey, I want to do a podcast. I need somebody to bounce ideas off of. You want to do it?
Mm-hmm.
I said yes.
Sounds accurate.
And here we are.
That's very brief.
Yeah.
And accurate.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's pretty much it. The show did start via the Big Bang. The Big Bang that was the explosion of SBK Live. That's when the people at Clear Channel, someone sat on the cartoon plunger, and the long wire went zzz, all the way up to the studio where SBK Live was, boom, and it blew the show up into pieces.
Yep.
Matt got fired. Angel got put on a Spanish station. That didn't work out. No, he's on the Monsters. Kevin got put on the Monsters. He's been on there for a year, over a year now. And I had nothing. What was I going to do?
You didn't want to lose your exposure.
I wanted to keep talking to people. People did ask me when I went to like one of the final SBK Live events for support, you know, holla holla, you know, shit like that. And I got asked more than once. What's next? Where are you going next? What are you doing? You know? What show are you going to be on next? People are asking me like, I'm just going to hop onto another show, like willy nilly, you know? I'm like, the podcast? Podcast it up. Let's do it.
Here we are.
There it is. It's been over a year. It's been a year and 4 months. Episode 65. It's been all right. It's been okay. Haven't given up yet.
Still trucking.
Not yet. Haven't given up yet. Rage Against Twit also asked, what's the movie watching process as a critic? You worry about plot, character development, etc., or entertainment value first? That's an interesting question. What about you, Drew? You've been now lately, because of the podcast, you've been watching movies more with a, I guess you can say, critical eye. Have you found that your movie watching has changed in the last year? The way you watch a movie?
No.
It's still, you just watch the movie.
Well, now I just have somewhere to voice my opinions. I mean, I've always been critical about movies.
Uh-huh.
You know, everyone's critical about movies. I mean, it's an art form.
Everyone has an opinion.
It's subjective.
Right.
So, you know, I mean, I've always thought things about movies and gone over them again, and some movies you got to watch a second time, blah this, blah that.
So when you sit down to watch a movie, is there a conscious way that you might break it down? Does the mayor of McDrugal Street, do you do something like where he's suggesting here, do you worry about plot and character development, or worry, I don't know if worry is the word, but do you think about the plot development? Is it just about the entertainment value first? Is there even a separation for you between the two?
I mean, for me, I just watch the movie, and either it works for me or it doesn't. And then I'll watch a movie, and at the end of it, you know, as a whole, I'll either be, you know, impressed with it or, you know, just kind of bland or like, wow, that kind of sucked.
Right.
And then through that, you know, and you kind of sit there, all right, well, Drew, you thought it sucked. Why did it suck?
Why?
And then I have to sit there and think about it for a little while.
That's the question, the why.
Yeah. I mean, I understand that it sucked, but why did it suck?
Yeah. What did not work for you?
Yeah.
And sometimes that takes some thinking.
Exactly. Sometimes.
Sometimes it's not evident right away why something's not working for you.
Hell, sometimes I don't even realize I don't like a movie until, like, the second time I see it.
Yeah.
It's like, you know what? Yeah, I'll watch that movie again. And halfway through, I'm just like, you know what?
This isn't working
this
for me.
Man, why did I decide to watch this movie again?
Interesting. Yeah, that happens, though. Mm-hmm. Yeah, movies just don't hold up. That's what they say. It's not holding up is what it is. For me, you know, I don't know if there's really not really a process. I do. It's like a lot like you. Sit down and watch the movie. Is it working? Am I enjoying it? Am I getting sucked into it? There are certain things that I like about certain movies, like when we're watching Her. You know, there were moments where I was like, paying more attention to the cinematography because, like, oh, this is a gorgeous shot. This is a gorgeous movie, you know? I pay more attention to things like that, like little shots here or there, little touches that other people wouldn't. Like in, we were watching the Captain America, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there's that one scene pretty early on where there's a, with Samuel Jackson, and it's like a car chase scene type of deal, and there's a lot of, like, you know, practical effects and actual cars slamming into each other, and I was like, I was really, really digging just the practical effects stuff. There might be certain people who don't care, they just see the action, but I see, you know, oh, whoa, someone...
The process.
I was like, oh, the process. I thought about, oh, man, someone decided that we're going to flip this car. We're going to throw this car on top of that car. There's going to be fire here. It's going to be an epic shot, you know, and it looks really cool. So there are times when I would do that, but, you know, there are also times when if a movie is so good, it doesn't just...
You don't think about it.
You're just watching the movie.
Exactly. You're just sucked enthralled by it.
Yes, that happens plenty of times. So yeah, it's all, they're all different. Like you said, they're movies, they're subjective. We all have our opinions when we sit down and just watch it. Is it working for you or does it not? And then, you know, have your reasons why. And then a lot, many times, you don't come up with those reasons until afterwards.
Absolutely. So there you go.
Mr. Nadathon wants us to do a Credpodome battle.
Credpodome.
Credpodome. I assume, you know what? Nope, not a typo. He wants us to do a Credpodome battle. Okay. So Chris Evans versus Stallone. He didn't specify which Stallone. So again, I'm going to assume he's talking about the entire Stallone family. So the Credpodome battle of Chris Evans versus the Stallone family. Now, the Credpodome battle is different from the Credpodome battle.
How so?
Because it's more about cred, street cred, credibility. Okay. How credible are they in their roles? So it's a little different. So instead of the actor, who's a better actor, Chris Evans or the Stallone family, which I guess leaves us Special Stallone, Frank Stallone, Jackie Stallone, does the she's kind of like Shirley MacLaine.
Okay.
You know what I mean? A little out there.
Sure.
Did Shirley MacLaine just die? Rest in peace, Shirley. Which one? We'll stick with, you know what? Frank really hasn't been in that many movies. He did. He was singing in Rocky. He was one of the guys around the fire singing. So take him back. We'll drop him out. Jackie really wasn't in any movies. There was Sylvester Stallone's kid, who was in Rocky V, playing Rocky's kid. But that guy sucks. So just more like the thing about that. So Chris Evans and Sylvester Stallone. We narrowed it down.
Okay.
Which one has more credibility in their roles? Do you buy Chris Evans as Captain America more than you buy Sylvester Stallone as Rocky or Rambo? Maybe Rambo is a better
parallel.
Well,
you see, here's my problem. Chris Evans started off as the Human Torch, so it's kind of hard to believe him as Captain America when he's already been a superhero.
Yeah, but can you buy Rocky as a PTSD-suffering Vietnam vet? When he's already been a Palooka, Philadelphia boxer, heavyweight, almost champion, contender type guy?
Sure.
So, Stallone has more cred for you. I'm talking about their bigger roles, anyway.
Well, yeah.
What if we compare them these days? Stallone in The Expendables. As Barney Christmas.
Awful.
No? Not working for you there?
No.
You would go Evans and as Captain America?
Yeah.
Or what else has he done? Scott Pilgrim vs. the World. He was the movie star skateboarder.
Yeah, he was in what was
Sunshine.
That? Yeah,
he was one of the scientists.
What was the one with the there was some sort of
the Avengers
assassins or something. There was like a group of Oh, boys, Chris Evans is shooting guys with his fingers, but it's really a sniper buddy in the back.
The Losers.
Yes,
The Losers, based on the comic book. He was right. That was good.
Yeah, wasn't bad.
But the credit, though, where the credit? Where the credit? The Credpodome. The Credpodome was tough. This is the first for the show. The Credpodome. Usually, a Credpodome battle is who's the better actor.
I really hope you cut this part out.
No, it's already gone on too long. The music won't match later, so we gotta stick with the Credpodome. I'm gonna go slow.
I'll agree.
So. And which one would win in a fight today if they fought now?
Oh, Chris Evans all the way. He'd destroy him.
He's younger.
Freaking huge. Okay.
If they fought, I mean like right now today, if they fought like 7 months ago when Captain America was in production and Evans was, you know, he was still cycled.
Super ripped.
Yeah, he was cycled up on his roids because that's how they do. They CG to make him smaller, want to make him bigger. Yeah, a couple cycles. Regimented, he gets big. By now he's flattened out, man. I bet you he's back to just being small old Chris Evans. Not like small, but he's, you know, he's a normal sized dude. Whereas Stallone, 60-something-year-old Stallone, HGH crazy, working out every single day. He's old man ripped.
Yeah, he's also legit
old man ripped.
But he's short old man ripped.
What? How tall is Chris Evans? You look up, you know, let's see.
He's got to be taller than Sly.
You think so? I wouldn't be surprised if they're the same height. Wouldn't be surprised. You know how little surprise I would have? Very, very little. This is mostly so. I do Chris Evans. Chris Evans workout. Chris Evans weight in Captain America. Height, weight. Oh, there you go. What was it? Oh, this says he's 6 feet and a half inches. Oh, this says he's 5'11".
Damn, he's tiny.
So he's about 5'11". This, according to this, he's 6 foot and a half inches. According to this, he's 5'11". Let's split a difference called, he's about 5'11 and three quarters.
Okay.
And Sloane is definitely shorter.
Yeah.
Not even bother looking that one up there. So. And of course, I look up a picture of, not a picture, I look up him on the Google, and then it says images of Chris Evans, about 6 images in a row of him just leaning against the wall, shirtless with a jacket over his shoulder.
Sounds
like,
all right.
And like, if, why? He's shirtless, so why does he have a jacket?
Because the jacket makes him look cooler. And he's totally gonna put on the jacket.
I guess just because he's younger, I guess Evans would win. Just because of youth. I'm just going with youth in that one. Yeah. And all right, you know what? Chiming in this week, good old Billy Lee, New York City show senior correspondent. Billy Lee writes, "Hey guys, been busy up here in the Rotten Apple, running, gunning, hustling. Sorry for the absence. Better be sorry."
Damn straight.
"Just read that Johnny Greenwood is returning to score Inherent Vice for PTA. So my question is, how much better could this Christmas movie season get? Peace out, homies. Billy the PS should be reporting from the field a lot this summer."
Sweet.
All right. So Johnny Greenwood of Radiohead fame, who did the scores for There Will Be Blood and The Master. He's doing a score for Inherent Vice. Paul Thomas Anderson's next movie.
There we go.
Inherent Vice is based on a Thomas Pynchon's novel, Inherent Vice, which just came out pretty recently. It's about a stoner PI guy in like 60s San Francisco, maybe 70s San Francisco, investigating a bunch of shit, disappearance, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's a pretty good book. Kind of funny. Good stuff. I'm sure Anderson will make a crazy little movie. Joaquin Phoenix is the lead guy. He's going to be the stoner PI guy, so that's going to be a lot of fun. Apparently, Johnny Greenwood's the score, so... how much better could this Christmas movie season get? I guess after that, could it get much better?
It probably could.
I really can't think of what else is coming out this Christmas.
I have no idea.
Other than off the top of my head, I mean, November is Chris Nolan, Interstellar. I think we're also getting, it's new Skyfall. That's next year. There's something else. There is something coming out towards the end of this year. I'm sure some people are looking forward to Hobbit 3. The Desolation of Smaug 2. Is that the title of it? The Hobbit 3, The Desolation of Smaug 2,
like
First Blood Part 1? I hope so. I hope that's the title. Hey, you know, a new Paul Thomas Anderson movie coming out this Christmas? Good enough for me. You know what can make it better? A new Quentin Tarantino movie coming out around the same time? That would make it better. You know what else would make it better? A new Alfonso Cuarón movie? But that's impossible because he just did Gravity, so... He's not calling another movie for another decade or so. You know what else would make it great? Another Coen Brothers movie? That's a little wild off there, so that's not gonna
happen. That would be.
That's not gonna happen anytime soon. You know what will make it great? If I got an Xbox One, that'd be sweet. Mom, if you're listening, I don't think she's listening.
So yeah, Inherent Vice is coming out. Paddington.
Oh, Paddington Bear? Sweet! I'm there.
The Annie remake.
Oh, yeah. With Quavenji Wallace from Southern Beasts of the Homeless Wild.
Night at Museum 3.
Night at Museum 3, sweet. The museum gets nightier. Can't wait.
Hot Tub Time Machine 2.
Billy, you are so right. This sounds like the greatest Christmas season ever. Can't wait. What else is coming out? Interstellar, yeah, that's the one you mentioned. That's going to be...
Big Hero 6.
I don't know what that is.
Dumb and Dumber 2.
Hell yeah, that's not going to fail.
Fury, Blackbird.
Fury?
Fury, that's drama.
Just as Fury.
Fury, drama.
Directed by. Doesn't say. Don't got to click on nothing. If it doesn't give you any information, don't worry about it. Just keep going. Just keep going.
David Ayer.
David Ayer. All right. Sabotage.
Brad Pitt and Shia LaBeouf.
Oh, Shia LaBeouf. Yeah, that's the... all right, David Ayer. I'll see David Ayer. Still, there actually doesn't sound like the hottest Christmas season. What are you talking about, Billy?
The Hunger Games.
Oh, God. What CGI, Philip
Home,
Seymour Hoffman.
Horrible Bosses 2.
Horrible Bosses 2? That's shit. That's a Christmassy movie?
November and December releases as of right now.
Oh boy, I don't know what you're talking about, but you know what? Hey, Inherent Vice, there you go. Good enough for me. Thank you, Billy D. Appreciate it. Let's work that up, Drew. Because that didn't make any sense.
Yep.
P.S. should be reporting from the field a lot this summer. I hope so, man. By then, we'll be able to Skype you in, or call. You can call in, or we'll have something figured out.
Seriously.
We'll even have interns and shit to, like, take your calls and stuff and screen them and run down to Shine downstairs and get us
get
some beer.
Alcoholic beverages.
Like, yo, just sneak that up here, man. If the cop stops you, just
be like, hey,
throw it on the ground and run because you're under reach. Yeah, we're gonna send this 20-year-old down there to get us over now.
Our drinks, yes.
All right, well, what time is it? Shit. Really?
Yep. You need to,
Damn it. All right, well, I gotta go. I got a whole film festival thing. Drew, I need you to clean all this up. You need to clean this up. You need to stop this recording. I don't even have time to hit the stop button.
Okay.
Or the save button. So okay. You need to stop it. You need to save it. You need to edit it.
Okay, so
put all the elements together.
So I immediately unplug everything and turn your computer off and then go from there, right?
Sounds about right. I think you've been watching. You've been watching closely. All right, so there you go. Thanks, Drew. I appreciate it.
You're welcome, sir.
Mayor McDougal. The mayor of McDougal Street. Yep. Thanks a lot. I gotta go to a film festival. I gotta go to a film festival, so I'm gonna come back and then put all this together tonight. Put it up later. Oh. I'm so tired. I haven't started yet.